7:14, beautiful Friday morning. Going to be a beautiful weekend. Highs today of only 72, 77 tomorrow, warming to 79 on Sunday. But get ready next week by the 1 week point to Thanksgiving next Thursday night, Friday morning, highs in the, of only 60 and lows in the mid-40s. So we got some nice fireplace weather coming. We're going to spend an hour talking about the governor's tax reform special session that's going on, and his plans for tax reform and thoughts on it. We'll start with Jan Moeller, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana. Then we'll go to Aaron Bendeley, Vice President for Policy and Strategy at the Pelican Institute. And I'm guessing they see it a little differently. Good morning, Jan. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, Tommy.
Tell me about your thoughts as to what the governor's proposing and where it stands now in the session.
Well, so we're about halfway through the session. The governor, I will give him credit for having big ambitions when it comes to tax policy. But from our perspective, Tommy, this was the wrong plan at the wrong time. The governor is trying to do two big things. He wants to pass, the biggest constitutional overhaul that we've seen in Louisiana in a half a century, and also probably the biggest changes to the tax structure that we've seen in a half a century. And when the smoke clears from all this, and remember, the governor in his opening speech said that he wants this entire package to pass, and that this thing is meant to be a whole package. You can't just pass pieces of it. Our concern with the overall package is that when the smoke clears, if it passes, Louisiana would not be solving a budget shortfall. It would actually be creating a massive budget shortfall and setting the stage for deep budget cuts to programs and services. It's just not going to raise as much money as we need to run state government. So that's our concern with the plan. We're at about the halfway point. The House has been working on this plan. Tax bills have to start in the House. So first it's the House and then the Senate. And it turns out there are a lot of people in the House who are very eager to cut taxes. So the bills that cut the income tax and cut the corporate franchise tax, those passed pretty easily. There aren't quite as many legislators who want to raise other taxes to pay for those tax cuts. So yesterday there was a bill to renew the sales tax that's expiring. That bill passed with just one extra vote to spare after a lot of amendments were made. And then the second part, which was to expand the state sales tax to include services, 41 different services that the governor wants to tax, that bill didn't even come up for debate because they don't have the votes. So we're at a kind of an impasse now as this plan moves to the Senate, because again, the governor said that this has to pass as an entire package, but we have a long way to go. They have until a week from Monday to finish their business.
My concern going in was that, okay, you want to do this to get away from all the carve-outs, but guess what? As you try to either eliminate carve-outs or add taxes to other things, those people that are the beneficiaries of the carve-outs or are going to be the targets of the new taxes are going to say, whoa, hang on a second. They're going to start calling the legislators. Legislators are going to react, and we wind up with something that's even more jumbled than it was when we started. Am I on anything here?
Absolutely. And look, one of the problems with and that's part of the issue as this plan goes to the Senate. So let's talk about just one bill in this package. You talk about carve-outs. The governor's plan calls for cutting this the corporate income tax by more than half. Corporations, the companies that pay this corporate income tax, by and large, are the very big companies. You think petrochemical companies, Exxon, companies like that. He wants to cut that tax in half, but to minimize the cost of that tax cut, he wants to get rid of some of the tax credit programs that we have. And what that would do is, he wants to eliminate the movie tax credit. If you do that, you're going to kill the film industry in New Orleans. There's a tax credit for historic preservation that gets used to bring a lot of old, dilapidated buildings. Think of downtown redevelopment projects, housing projects. That credit would go away, and so would a lot of those projects. There's just a lot of development that wouldn't get done. There's a tax credit for digital and interactive media that's responsible for bringing a whole lot of technology jobs to New Orleans. So if those tax credits go away, you're killing entire industries that bring jobs and economic activity to parts of Louisiana. And so absolutely, the defenders of those credits have been in the room defending those credits. And so if you're looking at this bill now in the Senate, you have to kind of ask yourself a question. Do I want to give a tax cut to the shareholders of ExxonMobil, or do I want to keep filmmakers and these small builders and these new tech companies in New Orleans and other places? That's a difficult choice for legislators, but that's one reason we're seeing a lot of skepticism around this plan.
So when you're talking about reducing the corporate income tax by half, I don't know, are we at risk of corporations leaving because of the income tax, or do we know of any corporations on the horizon that, given all the other problems the state has, are going to come in because you've reduced that income tax by half?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, if you ask the Department of Economic Development, they'll say that there are companies that don't consider Louisiana because of the corporate income tax. But again, very few companies in Louisiana pay the corporate income tax at all. You have to be organized as a C corp, not an S corp, to pay that tax. And again, it's mostly the large national, multinational companies. You know, think about the companies that have plants along the Mississippi River, or big companies like Walmart that might have, you know, operations across Louisiana pay this tax. And again, it's a tax that's essentially paid by the shareholders of those companies. We don't know what would happen if they do that, but we do know that if you cut the corporate income tax and you eliminate these tax credits, then there are some very important industries in Louisiana that would simply go away. The film industry does not exist in Louisiana without the film program, the film tax credit. We heard last week from some tech companies, from New Orleans, who said, you know, the only reason we can exist in a place like New Orleans, where there isn't as much, high tech talent as a place like Austin or Silicon Valley or New York, is because there's this tax incentive that encourages them to operate there.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Jan Moeller, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana. Aaron Bendeley, Vice President for Policy and Strategy at the Pelican Institute, I'm sure sees this differently. We'll talk to her in the next half hour, 7:21 and a half. Time for traffic now, WWL. 7:26, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Jan Moeller, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana, pleading his case, if you will, about the governor's tax reform plan. Jan, there are always going to be winners and losers whenever you change anything, right? So in this instance, let me take a step back first. You mentioned budget shortfall and cuts. People are confused. They think John Bel Edwards left the state with a surplus. Did he? And where does a budget shortfall or fiscal cliff come from?
Well, yes. I think one of the stories we don't tell about John Bel Edwards enough is how much money he left in the state savings accounts. When he took over from Bobby Jindal, the state had about $200 million sitting aside in its rainy day fund, because that fund had been tapped so many times under the previous governor to keep the budget balanced. The state has to balance its budget every year. During the 8 years that John Bel Edwards was governor, those rainy day funds, we have two rainy day funds, went from about $200 million to almost $4 billion. So we have a lot of money in the savings accounts, in large part thanks to those surpluses that we ran. And one of the parts about Landry's tax plan is that they want to raid some of that money to pay down some of these tax credit obligations. So there's a lot of money coming out of the state savings accounts if this plan passes. But again, the budget shortfalls come from the fact that if this plan passes, we're going to be raising a lot less revenue for state government than we are right now. And when you bring in less revenue, you have to balance that with budget cuts. The Legislative Fiscal Office's own numbers show that the plan, when you balance out the tax cuts and the tax increases, we're going to bring in about $600 million less than we are bringing in right now. And that means you're going to have to cut. And we all know what gets cut in those situations. It's education, it's college and university funding, it's healthcare, it's public services that people use and need. And so we have a generation of legislators, particularly in the House, who've never been through these times of hardship when state government is struggling to balance the budget and make cuts that sometimes can hurt the state for years to come because they haven't seen it in 8 or 9 years. Back to the fiscal cliff, Tommy. The fiscal cliff is something the legislature created, and that is because the last time we had a budget crisis in 2018, they put some new sales taxes on the books, but they scheduled those taxes to expire and at the end of June of next year. So the legislature created the fiscal cliff. They could solve this fiscal cliff pretty easily by simply renewing those taxes, but the governor decided to use this this small crisis as an excuse to kind of take an entire, you know, again, a very ambitious plan to restructure the tax structure that we have in Louisiana. But again, I think when you add up the numbers, the math isn't mathing.
And if I remember correctly, there was a hell of a fight to get it to 0.45 cents on a dollar because it was at a penny, right?
Absolutely. And it took them three special sessions in 2018. I remember some of those plans passed, moments before midnight. So there was a lot of blood, sweat and tears to get that compromise. And I understand, you know, nobody runs for office because they want to raise taxes on constituents. It's, spending money is the easy part. Everybody wants to fund the programs that people need. Raising the money to pay for that is a much harder thing. So, look, I appreciate the hard work that the legislature is undertaking. And I know we're probably running out of time, Tommy, but people need to understand that we have an entire session coming up in the spring, a fiscal session when the legislature is supposed to look at these problems. There is really no reason to do this in the middle of November, especially because we don't have a budget in front of us. The budget doesn't even get released until February. So legislators have no way really of telling which programs are going to get cut if they cut these taxes that the governor's asking for.
Thank you, Jan. 7:30, we'll take a break. Talk to Erin Bendeley on the other side, Vice President of Policy and Strategy for the Pelican Institute. She sees it differently. They do. We'll talk when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. All right, we're talking about Tommy Tucker, WWL, 744, 16 till 7. Beautiful day, beautiful weekend. Chilly outside, nice and clear and sunny. Pardon me, 57 degrees. We're talking about the governor's tax reform plan and where it stands in legislative special session. We spent a half hour with Jan Moeller, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana. Now we're going to spend some time with Erin Bendeley. Erin Bendeley, Vice President for Policy and Strategy at the Pelican Institute, whom I'm guessing sees it a different way. How you doing, Erin?
I'm doing well, Tommy, and you?
I'm okay. I'm not against the plan. I'm against a screw job is what I'm against, as I think most people are. So explain, not in those terms, but as far as winners and losers, what is the governor and what is the Pelican Institute looking for here? Who are going to be the winners and who maybe will not benefit as much? I hate to use the term loser because that's pejorative, but who's going to benefit from this? Who will not benefit from this?
Well, we certainly hope it's the Louisiana people who benefit from this. We have been working on this for quite some time. As you know, our goals, and I think the goals of the governor and most of those in the legislature, as they have shown in the past week and a half, are really looking to do a few things here. One, they're looking to provide relief to the Louisiana people. Two, they're looking to make our state more competitive, bring back jobs, bring back our kids and grandkids, stop the out-migration that we have been experiencing since 2016, year after year. We've lost about 120,000 people since then, and it's time for change. And so through this tax plan, I believe that the hope and I believe what we will actually achieve is providing that relief through lowering and flattening income taxes, both on the personal side and on the corporate side, making the entire system fairer so that everyone contributes and stop this system of winners and losers and preferences for those that have the lobbyists and the attorneys to fight for themselves, and many others don't, and then that makes everyone else have to pay more. We're looking to simplify our tax code, which we have been criticized by all of the national experts for so many years, saying that this is one of the top reasons why businesses choose not to come here, is figuring out our extremely complex tax code. And finally, and I would say this is a huge piece of this, a big priority for us, and that is making sure that we set ourselves up for sustainability over time, and that involves restraining the growth of spending. Our state has increased state spending by 35% since 2015, 84% in the last decade, to the point that at the same time when we're losing people, that's just not a sustainable place to be. We've got to look at reining in the growth of government closer to what the people can afford.
Where does the program stand now? Because one concern I had going into this, and I may have asked you about it, is that, you know, you start by wanting to get away with all the different carve-outs and exceptions, but then it seems as though I knew going into it that those that were getting the carve-outs and exemptions were going to be concerned. Also, those to whom the burden to make up getting rid of the revenue, the taxes, or flatter taxes, that burden would fall to somebody who's not going to like it as well. They're going to have pushback on that. So my concern was that you wind up with an even more convoluted mess. Thoughts?
Well, and that's certainly been the, you know, a topic of conversation in this past week and a half as these bills have been making their way through the House. Certainly everyone who is benefiting from one of these exemptions or preferential treatment in the code, they have their lobbyists show up. And, you know, we've even seen some local government representatives show up this week. Certainly the beneficiaries of that for a long time have a lot to say on this. On the other hand, it's, you know, also easy to point out that at some point you've got to recognize that our system, when you look at the entire tax code of Louisiana, we have 564 deductions, exclusions, or exemptions. If you're one of those, I'm sure you're coming out on top, or you certainly feel like you are. But in the grand scheme of things, there are a lot of people who are not who feel like that's unfair. And all the experts again will tell you that's just not the way to design a tax policy that makes your state competitive in the end. It's really not. And so we've got to look at, trying to reverse some of this. But at the same time, there are some that I think lawmakers are sensitive to. They're sensitive to the concerns that are being brought by a lot of the beneficiaries of these things. I think there's still room for some wiggle room if they're not taken out of these bills. I think we've heard from the Department of Economic Development that they're open to maybe continuing some incentives in a different way. It doesn't have to be through a tax preference. Maybe it's a grant program or a subsidy or some sort of other economic incentive that they can do in a different way.
But with all that being said, somebody texted in. I want to get the texts here. Let me take a break for traffic first, and we'll get to some of the text. Somebody texted in and wants to know which state has the most growth and why. Somebody else texted in and said this tax reform bill is being billed as a panacea to attract businesses and prevent people from leaving the state, when in fact it's all about insurance. Somebody else wants to know about numbers don't lie. How are you going to replace the money that they're getting rid of? So you can talk about all that when we come back. Aaron Bendeley, our guest, Vice President for Policy and Strategy, the Pelican Institute. All I want is what's best for the state. 7:50, 10 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 7:55, 5 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Aaron Bendeley, Vice President for Policy and Strategy at the Pelican Institute. Aaron, some of the texts that came in, people leaving in the state because, let me get back to the first one I asked you about, which was states that have the most growth and why, and combining that with the one that said this is being sold as a panacea for people leaving the state and attracting business, when in fact it's a lot more complicated than that. Thoughts?
Well, I'll take the last one first. I certainly don't believe that this alone is going to solve all of the challenges that we have in our state. However, that said, we think this is a huge problem that must be tackled. But certainly in addition to fixing our tax code, making our state more competitive, providing relief in people's pocketbooks. We know that we still have to work to improve our educational system. We have to work to make sure that we effectively move people out of poverty into self-sufficiency through work. Lots of things that we need to do to address a number of needs. So I agree with that. For the first question, as to what states do we look to then, I think a couple of states have been mentioned over the past week and a half. Certainly North Carolina, which has engaged in quite a bit of tax reform over the years. They have a lower, flatter personal income tax. They also have a lower, more competitive corporate income tax rate. They've implemented a lot of other reforms that I think have caught people's attention. Texas, our neighbor, has no personal income tax, no corporate income tax. And then there are eight other states across the country that have no personal income tax. So again, no tax system is perfect. You know, lots of people do these things differently when they assemble their system of individual income taxes, corporate income taxes, sales taxes, property taxes. But I would say, you know, in the grand scheme of things, Louisiana is ranked 40th overall for tax competitiveness by the Tax Foundation. And at the same time, we are just one of three states that has a corporate income tax, a corporate franchise tax, and a corporate inventory tax. So when you put all of that together, it's no wonder why businesses are not even giving us a second look, and we've got to get beyond that.
Aaron, this is so complicated, and there are so many offshoots. I guess maybe we could use the time that's left for you to address the average Louisiana citizen and explain to them why this would be in their best interest, at least as far as the Pelican Institute is concerned.
Well, what we believe is, you know, pretty immediately we think people will notice a difference in their own pocketbooks. Longer term, we firmly believe that if we do this right, as other states have done, we will start seeing the benefits and benefits in the form of jobs being more available here, more businesses coming into our state, people just giving Louisiana another chance. I mean, again, I'm back to the out-migration that we've experienced. We all have family members and friends that we have lost to other states, many of these states that I just mentioned. These are some of the things that bring people back. It's time to bring back opportunity to our people.
How concerned are you that part of it gets passed and not the other part, and that we wind up with a bigger mess than we had when we started?
Well, that's something that, you know, again, the governor has been very vocal about, as well as legislative leadership. This is a package, and it's important to take it as a package. Now, that doesn't mean that things can't be amended and that the package can't evolve through the legislative process. We know that it will, and it has to some extent. But, you know, I'm optimistic. I have to give a shout out to House members who voted overwhelmingly for almost all of these bills over the past week and a half. I think they've got one more on sales taxes that they didn't get to yesterday. The legislature will come back on Monday. We're hearing good things from the Senate, but certainly, you know, they will have their own questions and their own priorities. So we're optimistic that this is going to get done, and it's going to involve a little bit of, you know, all of these things that we discussed, several bills, how they put them together at the end to make sure that the net effect is that we are providing relief, we are making the state competitive, we are simplifying our system, and we are reducing the growth of government. Those are the things that we're going to be looking to and how we will judge success at the end of this special session.
Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate your time. Vice President of Policy and Strategy of the Pelican Institute. When we come back, we're talking Mike Dettelier about the Saints, Browns, and LSU Gators here on WWL.